praise the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee again for the gospel hour. We thank the Lord for this opportunity to present Christ in all of his fullness. And we pray, Lord, you'll be pleased to come, meet with us tonight, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Our opening hymn tonight, the words of hymn number 310, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb, Redeemed through His Infinite Mercy, His Child, and Forever I Am. 310, we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Seek God's face again, please, in prayer. We ask for his presence in his house tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for each one in this meeting who can say, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank the Lord tonight for those who are not just simply singing words, but Lord, we thank thee tonight for those for whom this is the experience of our hearts and lives. We thank thee, O God, for that moment when by grace we were awakened out of our sin, and we were brought to Christ. We thank the Lord tonight for that moment when the blood was applied to our hearts, When we realized how lost we were, Lord, the danger we were in, Lord, the eternal state that we had before Thee. And oh God, we thank Thee tonight for that moment, Lord, in each one of Thy dear people, when free grace awoke us by light from on high. We thank Thee, O God, for the convicting and converting power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, taking away that old life of sin and depravity, and giving us, Lord, that new life in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that there is life, and life alone to be found in Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You will be pleased, Lord, to even impart that life to others tonight, we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for those out of Christ without a Savior. Lord, tonight we pray that You'll speak to them. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll open their eyes, Lord, that You'll bring them to Thyself, O God, we pray. And Lord, that this evening, Lord, they might know and experience, Lord, that life that is to be found alone in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You will be pleased to come and presence Thyself with us, Lord, in this place, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for a very particular, real sense of Thy presence. Lord, we need Thee tonight. O God, we pray that You'll come and be pleased to presence Thyself with us. Pour out the Spirit of the living God upon us, we pray. Lord, we pray You'll stand amongst us, and Lord, that tonight in the gospel we might know help from heaven. We ask, O God, You'll be pleased to write Thy word upon every heart tonight, we pray. And Lord, we ask, O God, that this will be a meeting like none other, when the Spirit of the Lord will take complete control. And Lord, that You'll speak into every heart. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, that it's that gospel, Lord, that charms the hearts of each one of Thy people. May we never grow tired of singing and telling of Jesus and His love. And our Father, we pray that You'll make the gospel real to all of our hearts tonight, we pray. Make the claims of Christ real to us, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, that You'll bless in every part of this meeting. Remember our sister Kirsten, as she would come minister to us in song. We thank Thee for her. We pray, Lord, You'll encourage her. And Lord, help her to sing of our Savior tonight, we pray. And we pray, Lord, You'll just be unto her all that she would need, we pray. And use her, continue to use her, Lord, in the service of the Lord. Bless us in the reading of the Word of God. Bless us, Lord, in the preaching of that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, we pray. And Lord, we pray that everything will be to the glory and to the honor of our Savior. Bless us then around the table of the Lord tonight as well. We ask, O God, that as we would linger for that time, Lord, as we would remember Christ and His death, we pray, Lord, You'd be pleased to come and presence Thyself with us in this place tonight. Our Father, we pray You'll bless the going forth of the Word of God across our city tonight. We ask, O God, tonight for Belfast. We just cry unto Thee tonight. Drive back, Lord, every evil and wicked power. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll be pleased to raise the standard for truth and for righteousness, O God, we ask. Heavenly Father, we need Thee. Lord, we look across our city, and Lord, we see sin abounding on every side. But, O God, we thank Thee tonight for that promise that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so, Lord, we pray that grace will abound, Lord, to this capital city tonight, we pray. Remember especially, Lord, here in Ballyhackamore, we ask, O God, for the east of this city. We cry unto Thee tonight. Lord, move up and down the streets, Lord, across and around this community. Lord, we pray You'll create an interest. Lord, as many are out tonight enjoying the good weather, not even realizing that the bounty of God, the goodness of God, Lord, that they have the health and strength to enjoy this weather. O God, we pray that they might realize, Lord, that there is a God in heaven with whom one day they'll have to do. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll point many to Thyself, we ask. And so, our Father, we look to Thee. Come and be with us tonight, we pray. Presence Thyself with us in this place. And, Lord, we cry unto Thee. May the presence of the Lord be felt. And, Lord, we ask that Thy name would be glorified and honored, we pray. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to welcome back to Sandown again our sister Kirsten. You're always welcome to Sandown, always blessed by your ministry. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us. Thank you, Kirsten.
Thank you. stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgive us when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty could just be set free? My chains were broken, I was born again. The moment mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgive us when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgive us when mercy walked in. His blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgive us when mercy walked in. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not far. forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before his throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When my race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Kirsten, thank you so much for those messages and song. It's always a blessing to our hearts. And that is one of the favourites here in Sandown, that last one you sang there. So I'm not sure they're all smiling at you, because we all love that song. And speaking, of course, of all that we have in Christ, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you in a wee moment. Can we turn in the Word of God tonight to the book of Romans, please? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's just read from verse 8, please. Verse 8 of this chapter. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken all throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Can I bid you all a sincere word of welcome tonight to our gospel meeting? We're glad to see you in the Savior's name, and thank you for being with us this evening. And also welcome to those who are joining with us online. Do remember that we have the Lord's table immediately after the meeting tonight. And if you know and love the Lord, you're walking in fellowship, then we encourage you to wait behind for that little time after the meeting this evening. Also after the meeting tonight, there's a youth rally over in the gospel tent in the Belfast Road there at Cumber, just outside of Cumber, at quarter to nine tonight, and Adam is speaking at that tonight. So if you fall into that age category, then you're welcome to go over to that meeting after the service tonight. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, that will be a deputation meeting on behalf of Let the Bible Speak, and the Reverend Nathan McVeigh will be here on behalf of Let the Bible Speak to present the needs of that work. There'll also be an offering to support the work of LTBS. Then on Thursday night, that's the sending forth service for the Reverend Ray Kerskadden and his wife and family, who are, God willing, going in just under 2 weeks now as missionaries to Uganda. That meeting will be held on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. It's going to be in our Dungannon church. And if there is anyone who needs a lift and you're planning to go, please do let us know today, please, at the very latest. But do remember the Kerskaddens in your prayers, as the service marks the end of their ministry here, and as it sees the commencement a little later of the work of God there and their ministry there in the Emmanuel Christian Station in Uganda. Next Lord's Day, that is our Children's Day service. At 10:15, boys and girls will meet for their final practice in readiness for the Children's Day service at 11:30. And so I trust that you'll make every effort to come again. Make every effort as well to invite others along to the Children's Day service next Sunday morning. Children will be taking part in the meeting next Sunday morning at 11:30. And we're looking forward to hearing the boys and girls as they take part next Sunday morning. And then next Sunday afternoon, that is Children's Day as well, over in Redburn, the community centre there for Outreach Sunday School. And so you trust that you'll as well join with the teachers and the children as they have that Children's Day and mark the end of another Sunday School year. That's at 2:30 over in Redburn Community Centre, and you all would be welcome along to that as well. Then at 6:30 is our youth service. The young people of our youth fellowship and Bible class will be taking part in the meeting next Sunday night. Also, Brother David Warwick will be singing, and Adam will be speaking as well, God willing, next Sunday night. Of course, the meetings are preceded by the half hour of prayer as well. Again, let me thank all those who helped and supported the church barbecue yesterday in any way and in every way. Thank you sincerely for all your help. We certainly knew the Lord's blessing, and we had a good day. Do remember, the LTBS magazines are available. I'm not sure if there's any left still, but if there are, take them with you. And if you didn't get one, there's one here. And if we need more, we can get more. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, we make them subject to the will of the Lord. 678 is our hymn tonight. Second hymn tonight, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. 678. We'll stand as we sing this hymn, please.
Jesus.
person to come and sing for us again, please. Thank you.
Just before I sing this final piece, I want to read a verse to you in Numbers 23 and verse 19. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken and shall he not make it good? And you know, tonight this wee song that I want to finish with is a song that last year I wrote myself. And it's based on that verse. And it was a verse that a friend had sent to me about waiting on God's promises to be fulfilled. And sometimes it's good with hindsight. We can look back and trace God's faithfulness. But when we're waiting on the promise, it's difficult. Maybe tonight you're waiting on a promise that God has given you and can encourage you to keep waiting. Or maybe tonight you're sitting here as the result of somebody's promise held before the Lord in prayer to say, bring my son or daughter out to church, restore the backslider in my home. And I just pray that this will be encouragement to you, that if you're waiting on that promise, that God would encourage you to keep holding on for it.
Are you waiting on a loved one coming home? Are you shedding endless tears before his throne? Are you wondering when the breakthrough it will be? Are you holding to a promise that you've yet? Shall he not do it? Shall he not make it good? If he has said it, you can trust his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Hold that promise, it's drawing nigh. You might have to wait. He's not running late. He'll deliver on your promise in his time. Are you fighting off the enemy? Are you wrestling with the doubts when they appear? Are you wondering when the stronghold will come down? Are you longing to see those chains become unbound? Shall he not do it? Shall he not? If he has said it, you can trust his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Hold that promise, it's drawing nigh. You might have to wait. He's not running late. He'll deliver on your promise. Shall he not do it? Shall he not make it good? If he has said it, you can trust his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Hold that promise, it's drawing nigh. You might have to wait. He's not running late. He'll deliver on your promise.
Kristen, thank you so much. Beautiful peace, beautiful words, and a wonderful truth. That God will deliver every promise, and his word is sure. And if God has given you a promise, as Kirsten said, you stand upon it, you prove it, and you trust God until he has given that promise to you, and you've proved God. He will never let you down. He will always be faithful to his word. Kirsten, thank you so much. Certainly blessed, as always, by your ministry tonight. We're turning to the book of Romans again. Romans chapter 1. Should have said to you as well that on Friday night past at the presbytery meeting, the Reverend Timothy Omerod, who is currently the minister of our church in Six Mile Cross, way down in County Tyrone, had received and accepted the call to be the new minister of the church in Ballygowan. And so you can remember Timothy and his wife and family as they leave Tyrone, they move up to Ballygowan. That service will be at the end of this month installation there in Ballygowan. So please do remember God's servant as they leave Six Mile Cross and as they commence their ministry in the church in Ballygowan. Delighted to see Rachel with us as well tonight. Home for a little time. Glad to have you this evening, Rachel. Let's turn in the Word of God tonight to the book of Romans. We don't have a particular text, because what I want to really speak on tonight is asking this question: what is the gospel? What is the gospel? We will look at these verses and perhaps other verses as well as we consider this subject tonight. Let's see God's face, please, in prayer and ask for his help. Eternal God and our Father, we look to thee. We ask, O God, that tonight you would please to come and speak to hearts. Lord, move in this place tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be a hearing. Lord, there'll be an attentiveness to the word. And Lord, that tonight you'd be pleased to take thy word and, Lord, apply it to hearts, O God, we pray. Answer prayer. And Lord, be with us tonight, we pray. And Lord, glorify thy name. In this name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. There is so much confusion today as to what the gospel really and truly is. The liberalists, the modernists, and of course the Church of Rome itself has so diluted and so changed the gospel of Christ that there is so much confusion as to what the gospel truly and really is. And as a result, it has led to the truth that today the gospel to many has become an irrelevance, because it seems to be all things to all people. And so as a result, it seems today that the gospel has lost its significance in the lives of so many. But what really is the gospel that we preach? What is the gospel tonight that we declare? What is the gospel that we love? And what is the gospel through which we were saved? And I want tonight to look then at what the gospel really is. I want us to see tonight the claims of the gospel, because if we're going to start anywhere, then we're going to see what this gospel really truly is. What makes this gospel different to any other message that is abounding in our world today? Because you see, we have many false religions. The cults are rampant today, preaching their own message, but what is it that sets this gospel apart? Well, look at Romans chapter 1 and the verse 1. We see something that sets this gospel apart. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You see, that's what makes this gospel different to any other message you or I will ever hear. Every other message you hear is a message of man. It is man's thoughts, it is man's belief, it is man's teaching. But the gospel tonight is the gospel of God. That gospel that Paul went on to defend and declare in many different places, he starts here when he writes to the church at Rome with a very fundamental point. This is not my gospel. And if you know anything about the life and the ministry of Paul, you will know that many accused him of preaching his own message, of really being an imposter, because, of course, he left Judaism, a man who knew Judaism, a man who knew all the rituals and the ceremonies of the law, and that riled the Jewish leaders, and they hated it. But Paul makes it very clear that what he was saved out of and what he goes on then to declare is not his own thoughts, it's not his own teaching. This is the gospel of God. He alone is the author. What an important point there to start with. And that's, of course, where we always should start off when we come to defend or declare or even define what the gospel really is. It's the gospel of God. Why is that all so important? Well, I tell you, it's important for this one reason. For if you are here in this meeting tonight without Jesus Christ, as I preach by God's help, week in and week out, you're not going to be accountable to me for anything I say because this is not my message. You will be, and we all will be, accountable to God because this is His message. This is His gospel. You will stand before God to give an account with what you did with His teaching and with His truth. Not the teaching of me, not the teaching of this church or any other church for that matter. It is the teaching, it is the truth of the gospel of God. That's why it is so different to every other message you will ever hear. Whenever we consider that it is the gospel of God, that's why it is so important that we treat it with the reverence and with the respect that it deserves. Sadly, today there are many who will seek to tamper and play about with the gospel. They'll seek to dilute it, they'll seek to water it down. It may not suit them. It may not be appealing to them. And so they will try to alter it. They'll try to change it. But what they're doing is, in effect, changing a divine message, or in their minds, trying to alter a message that they do not like. The gospel of which we preach is not man's gospel. It is not a church's gospel. It is God's gospel. And therefore, we have no right to try to change it or alter it in any way. The gospel, the true gospel, the only gospel that takes a sinner out of their sin is the gospel that was devised in the mind of the Holy God, of a triune God, and then revealed in His Word. Sinner in this meeting tonight without Christ, what you need to hear tonight is not the gospel of a church. What you need to hear tonight is not the gospel of any man. What you need to hear tonight is the gospel of God, because tonight, as a sinner in this meeting, you stand condemned before God. You're under the wrath of God. You're not under the condemnation of any church or the anger of any man. You're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Notice what Paul goes on to claim. He's writing here to the church at Rome. But if you turn over with me to another one of his letters, the book of Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 1. We're looking at these verses last Lord's Day morning. But notice the statement that he makes again in verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, what Paul is saying there is that any other gospel, and the Galatians had moved away from the gospel of grace and the gospel of God to another gospel, and he's saying that any other gospel does not have the authority as the gospel of God does. It's not just another variant of it. It's something totally different. You see, tonight there is only one gospel. There's only one gospel message tonight. It's not that there are many messages. It's not that, and well, sadly you do go to different places and you hear different messages. But if we're going to stick to the gospel of God, there is only one gospel. Any other message, any other gospel is another gospel. In other words, it's a totally different gospel. This gospel comes with all the authority of God. There is no other message but the gospel of God. That's the gospel by which, by God's help, we seek to preach week in and week out. That's the gospel that we seek to declare to this community and to those around us. It comes with all the authority of heaven. And here's a tremendous impetus as we seek to evangelize and seek to do anything for the Lord. We're not going with our own message. We're going with God's message. We're going with a divine message. We're going with an authoritative message. What is that message then? Well, if you come back then to Romans chapter 1, we see a little here of why this message then becomes so unpalatable. Why people want to change. Why people want to alter this message. Look at verse 18, Romans chapter 1 and the verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The claims of this gospel are such that they make every man and woman a sinner. And as such, the wrath of God is upon all men, all women, all mankind, all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men. And this, folks, I believe is where this gospel becomes so difficult to so many. People will point to their good works. People will point to their good living. And people will say that they did no wrong. They have done nothing to anybody. And why should God be angry with them? Why should the wrath of God be under them? But the authority of the gospel of God is such is that it condemns all mankind to condemnation and to wrath because we are all sinners in the sight of a holy God. You see, the reality is tonight, whether the sinner wants to hear it or not, you stand condemned. Hell is your portion. The only destination as you sit in this meeting tonight, without Christ, under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Why is that? Well, look again at verse 18. Because of your ungodliness, because of your unrighteousness, and at the end of verse 18, because of your unbelief, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who will refuse to be saved, those who do not want to believe that they're a sinner, those who do not see that they are sinners in the sight of a holy God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ condemns all mankind, that the wrath of God is upon all. This tonight is the gospel of God. Therefore, as we said at the start, it's this gospel that makes you accountable to God. All shall appear before the judgment seat of God, not of any church, not of any world power, but of God. Because this gospel tonight, this gospel lays claim on every man, every woman, every young person, everyone born into this world. Therefore, the question must be asked, how do you stand before him? In light of the gospel, in light of what we've seen, how do you stand before God tonight? As he looks into your heart, as he looks into your soul tonight, how are you before God? Because you'll either stand before God in your sin by nature, or you'll stand before God in Christ as a result of the new birth. There is no in between, and there are no other shades between that. How do you stand before him this evening? Stand before God in his wrath, under his condemnation. Or do you stand before him tonight, saved and redeemed? The claims of the gospel, we see as well the centrality of it. The gospel itself, it means good news. Good news. Go back there to verse number 1, or chapter 1 of verse 3 of Romans. Romans 1 and verse 3. He's just in the end of verse 1, at the end there said about the gospel of God. Then we have verse 2, it's in brackets. And then straight away into verse 3, the gospel of God at the end of verse 1, notice this at the start of verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the centrality of the gospel. The gospel of God all centers upon, all hinges upon God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. You see, you remove Christ from the gospel, you haven't got a gospel. You minimize the centrality of Christ in your heart and in your life and in your mind and in your thinking, you don't have a gospel. And as we'll go on to see how Christ is so central to this gospel, you'll see that it's all based on grace and nothing to do with us. Notice some things here about Christ. As we see it in verse number 3, we see his coming, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. There's a reference to Christ coming into this world. The glorious truth of the gospel, in fact, the absolute necessity of the gospel, that Jesus Christ had to come into this world. Listen, there is no other way for you or I to be saved apart from Christ. And for Christ to make that possible, he had to leave glory. He had to come into this world. He had to be made flesh. He had to take our humanity, all of its weakness, into union with his blessed dead. And as you've heard me before talk on about the God-man, he who was God had to become man. So central, so important, all part of the gospel. It was essential to the gospel. You see, this gospel, the only gospel that can save your soul, necessitated the Son of God to come into this world. It could never have been good news unless Christ hadn't come. And here's something. Many tonight will speak about how Christ was a good man. And many false religions tonight, and you'll speak to any of the cults tonight, and they will speak about Christ as being a good prophet. He did good deeds. He lived a good life. They will deny the central truth that he was God and is God. Verse 4, and declare to be the Son of God. Christ had to come into this world to be our mediator. A holy God whose law had been broken, and sinful man who could do nothing to mend that broken law, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to come into this world and to bridge that gap between God and man. And for that to happen, he had to become man. He could not be an impartial mediator. He could not be an independent mediator. He of necessity had to become man in order to reconcile a holy God, a sinful man. He had to come to make that possible. We see his coming here. If you turn over a second again to the book of Galatians, we see also his crucifixion. Galatians 1 and the verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins? Christ came to Bethlehem. Why? That we might have a holiday over Christmas. That we could exchange presents and have lots of eating and time of festivity with our family. No, he came into this world to save us from our sins. Martin Luther talks about the place of the great exchange as he describes it, because here we are brought to the place called Calvary, where Jesus Christ gave his life and shed his blood. He gave himself for our sins. And again, that is an essential part of the gospel. There will be those who will tell you tonight that yes, Christ died, but he just didn't have to die. That was the way he chose. That was the way that he planned to bring this world to God. It was the way he planned it because it was the only way. You see, Jesus Christ is not just one of different ways. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way, because by his death and his resurrection, as we read of back in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 4, he fulfilled the law of God. He completed the law of God. He satisfied the law of God. He made that atoning sacrifice, because without it, our sins could never be forgiven. Salvation could never be attained without Jesus Christ giving himself for our sins. Where are sins forgiven tonight? It's at the cross. Where can you find forgiveness? Where can you find assurance tonight? Where can you gain your hope tonight? It's at the cross. As Kirsten was singing, that time when mercy walked in, we stood condemned, we stood guilty before God, but mercy stepped in and Christ became our substitute there on the cross that we might be saved. And without that once and for all sacrifice for sin, there would never be a salvation. All other religions tonight will look away from the essential nature of Calvary. They'll deny the absolute necessity of Calvary, but there was no other way a God of wrath could find to reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. That he might deliver us, verse 4 as well in Galatians chapter 1, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. Theologians talk about the intention of Christ's coming. That's what he intended to do. That's why he came. He came to deliver the sinner from the power of sin, because nothing else and no one else could do it. And thank God tonight, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sinner can be set free. Set free from the bondage of sin, from the captivity of sin. Unsaved one, Satan holds you in his grip. He binds you to his power, and it's only Christ, through his death, his glorious resurrection, who can set you free. If the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. What this world needs tonight and what the Church of Jesus Christ needs tonight is to rediscover the gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed. He had every intention of going and declaring that gospel to Rome, to the inhabitants of that city. And he said, I'm ready and I'm not ashamed. Because he went with all the authority of heaven. He went with a message that he knew would change lives. Why do we preach this gospel? Why should we never dilute this gospel? Because we know it's this gospel and only this gospel can change a life. We see his crying in as well back in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ was raised from the dead because his work was accepted. His work in the gospel of redemption was completed. And on the basis of that work, he arose from the dead and he is exalted to the highest place heaven affords. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the centrality of it. It all centers on who Christ is. He is God. It all centers on what Christ did, that he died. Coming into this world, he died to deliver us from sin. That's why tonight Christ is your only Savior. That's why tonight Christ is your only hope. That's why tonight we should preach no other gospel, because there is no other gospel that will save the sinner from sin. There is no other gospel tonight that can turn your life around. There is no other gospel, there is no other message tonight that can set you free, that can give you this life, new life. Finally, notice the command of the gospel. As we said at the start, it places a demand upon you. You see, this is something on which you can't be neutral. Many people believe they can be. You can't. This is something that you cannot sit on the fence upon. What is the command of the gospel? Well, we leave that to the very words of Christ as he commenced his earthly ministry. What was the commencement of his earthly ministry all about? At the start of Christ's earthly ministry, he brought men and women under the command of the gospel, and he said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This gospel, this only gospel that comes with all the authority of heaven, this gospel that can set you free, this gospel that centers upon Christ and who he is and all that he has done. Now repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel. Trust the gospel alone. Turn away from your sin. Leave your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel not just contains a message. It contains a mandate. You need to turn to Christ tonight. You need to realize this evening, as we considered there in verse 18, that you're under the wrath of God, that your sin will be punished, but that God in Christ took the punishment of the sin of those who will come to him. Your sin will either be punished in Christ, or your sin will be punished in you in hell. What is the gospel tonight? It tells me that I'm a sinner. The gospel tonight tells me I'm under the wrath of God for my sin, but the gospel tonight tells me that Christ is my only Savior. And that's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I wonder this evening, will you turn and believe this gospel? Will you repent and turn away from your sin? And will you come tonight to Jesus Christ? He's your only hope. Will you cry unto Him this evening for that forgiveness that you so desperately need? And for each one of us that are saved, may we rejoice tonight in this gospel message. And as we seek to live for the Lord and as we seek to witness for the Lord, we do so with the authority that this is the message that will change lives. Many other will go out and tramp around the streets, not with a message of hope, with a message of hopelessness. We have a message of hope tonight. It's the gospel of Christ. Therefore, we should never be ashamed of it. We should seek to defend it and declare it at every possibility, knowing only this gospel can change the life. Has it changed your life? Have you trusted Jesus Christ alone for salvation? If not, then come tonight. Come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Him that cometh to me, he says, I'll in no wise cast out. Will you come? And will you come tonight?